Hey everyone, we had a great podcast this week. We had Courtney Slesnick from the blog and Instagram feed, Click It Up a Notch. I'm sorry about the audio I have in this one, but I recorded it while I was on vacation with my family, and being the numbskull that I am, I forgot my microphone. Click It Up a Notch was one of the first blogs I ever started reading. Courtney is awesome. It's really interesting to see the way she's made the transition from old school blogging to new school social media for creators. Also, my guest for this one was my guest host, Jen Bell from Jen Bell Yoga, a previous guest. Always great to see Jen again. One thing I didn't realize when we started recording this is that they're both military wives, and that sisterhood is very deep. Don't forget to check out If You, I Will. We have some great charity challenges coming up as we gear up for the official launch. And let's get on with the podcast.
This is Creators Chat, brought to you by If You, I Will, the perfect app for creating challenges, contests, and accountability. Every week, we interview internet creators to find out how they started, what drives them, and how they challenge themselves and their audience. I'm Peter.
And I'm Jen.
And it's time to meet our guests.
All right. I am very, very excited about this podcast because about 6 years ago, I decided to pick up a camera and get into photography. And I didn't know what to do, and everybody was telling me about Lightroom and all of the settings, and I didn't know where to start, and I ran across this blog called Click It Up a Notch. Courtney had a primer on how to use Lightroom, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And so finally, I was able to get to Courtney, and she's on the podcast. And also, my guest host is Jen Bell, who did our episode with Jen Bell Yoga. So this is just great for me. I'm very excited. Welcome to the podcast, Courtney.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
You are like old school social media. You're a blogger.
I thought you were going to stop with old. Thanks for adding school on that one.
No, I'm the old.
Yes,
I'm
a blogger.
And so I'd like to maybe jump back even before that. How did you start photography? What moved you into photography? And then maybe talk about how you started the blog and go from there.
Yeah, I was always into photography, as a lot of people are. You know, they remember they always had the, little Polaroid camera that was disposable, and you'd take it and you'd, get your film back in a week. And I was that kid, and I was always taking pictures. And when we first got married, my husband bought me a fancy point and shoot. And I thought, well, that's all I need. I mean, I went to a friend's wedding and I was like, you don't need a photographer. I mean, they had one, don't worry. But I was still like, look at this guy. And then I was like, okay, now I need a DSLR. And my husband was like, I don't know, it's not in the budget. And I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. Young married couple. And after when I was in labor with my second daughter, about 10 minutes before she was born, the nurse said to my husband, hey, can you move this chair? We're going to move around. He's like, yeah, no problem. He moves the chair. And we both hear the camera crash on the floor. And I kind of look at him and he looks at me and he's like, oh no, it's broken. And I'm like, okay. And luckily my mom and my sister were there. They had DSLRs, all was saved. We got to take pictures. The next day I'm holding my brand new daughter and my husband's like, I'm going to go grab you lunch. What do you want? And I'm like, oh, grab me this. And also while you were in the bathroom, I called a camera shop and there's a DSLR on hold at this place. So I'm going to need you to go by and grab that too, please. And I totally used his guilt against him and I got my first DSLR. And I thought that's all you needed, you look at your friend's pictures and they have these DSLRs and you're like, oh, their pictures are awesome. It's the camera. And I started taking these pictures and they were still not awesome. And I didn't understand why. And I had a friend who had almost the same camera I did and her pictures were better than mine. And I'm like, what's the deal? What's the secret? And she says, well, you have to shoot on manual mode and you need to get a 50 millimeter lens. And I was like, I just convinced my husband to give me this DSLR. And now you want me to spend $100 on a lens? Are you kidding me? And so we had a talk and my husband was like, well, if you're serious about learning this, okay, we can invest, you know, like little did he know that was like a drop in the bucket of lenses that I would then go on to ask to purchase. And so I just made my friend come to my house. I made her teach me everything she knew. I'm a terrible student. Like at one point I threw my camera on the couch and I was like, I don't understand ISO. Nothing made sense. And so I had my camera for a couple months and then we moved to Japan. We're a military family. And I was like, okay, I have these two young kids and all my family's in the States and they want to see pictures of the kids and I want to get better. And so I started a Project 365 where you take a picture every day for a year. And so I started a little family blog and I just started posting a picture every day. And, you know, I would take it, I would edit it after I put the kids to bed and I would just put it online and tell a little story about the day. And after a couple months, I started having friends from the States write me and say, like, your pictures are getting better. Can I pay you to teach me? And I'm like, you don't have to pay me. I have my degree in teaching. I was an elementary school teacher. I was like, I will teach you for free. I love photography. And so I started sending emails to people like, here, this is what you do. And this is what you do. And then one day, again, this was in 2010. So this was when you were only blogging. And there was a blog called The Nester. And she was like, I think she's still around. She was a home design blogger that I followed. And it was when you would have ads on the side of your blog. And I started counting up her ads. And then I went to her page where you buy ads. And I started doing the math. And I said to my husband, I think she makes $1,000 a month on ads. And he was like, no way. And I was like, I know. And I was like, I think I could start a blog to teach people photography, even though I was in no place to teach photography. I hadn't even been doing it for a year. But I was like, I'm learning and I think I could do it. And I was like, and I could put ads on the site and I bet I could make like $200 a month. And he was like, that would be crazy. I was like, I know. So I like put out a thing on Facebook and I was like, I need to name this thing. I will pay someone $50 in Amazon gift cards if you come up with a name. So my parents sent me a list of like 30 names and one of them was Click It Up a Notch.
Great name.
And I was like, okay. And
awesome. Name.
I love it. I love it. I know. And so on September 3rd of 2010, I published my first blog post. It was riddled with grammar errors. My mom emailed me the next day and was like, it's there, not there. It's your, not your. And I'm like,
all right, can I pause for a second?
Writing's not my thing, Mom.
Because you said you're a terrible student. It was, yes. It was riddled with grammatical errors and you're a teacher.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I feel really sad for my students. Don't worry, I'm not teaching children anymore. but yeah, and then it just took off from there. I just started publishing three times a week for years. And it was a lot. And I had at the time like a 2-year-old, 2.5 or 3-year-old and like a 1-year-old. But that was what I did during nap times. And I remember I'd go to the playgrounds with my friends and I would be like, I just spent 3 hours, but I figured out how to change the font on my blog. And they're like, we don't care. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. That's a huge deal.
Oh, that's
so awesome. Yeah, that's how I started.
And like, how did it, that was 2010 you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did it start growing? I mean, did you notice more and more traffic or was it organic or how did the...
Yeah, it was all organic. I didn't even know how to monitor traffic back then, honestly. I shared it with friends who shared it with friends. And back then you would do, I don't know if you guys remember, like Linky parties. And so once a week, the way my blog went is on Mondays, I would share a tutorial. I would write a tutorial. Basically, I had just learned how to do it yesterday. And I was like, okay, I think I understand.
This is so yeah. Awesome.
I learned
Little
it.
Little did I know.
I like took pictures. You're going to regret the whole conversation. I'm sharing all my secrets. I was figuring out and I would write a tutorial on Monday. On Wednesday, I would do what I would call, why didn't I think of that? And I would share someone else's. You know, I'd link to someone else like, hey, this is really cool. I don't know how to do it. You can go read and find out how to do it. And then on Friday, I would do what I learned. And so I would share, I learned this week and here's a photo. And then you would you had a code and other people, because everyone had a blog, they would write on their blog, this is what I learned, and they would link to my blog. And so then I would collect them all and it would like be coded on your page. And so it was really easy to grow that way, because if 30 people joined me that week, 30 people were telling their audience, hey, I learned this. It doesn't even necessarily have to be from me. It was just, I learned this with photography. And so I think that that's how I just kind of grew over time.
Wow, that's amazing. It's so funny. Little did I know you were just learning this stuff as I'm following you and trying to figure it out myself.
Yeah, I remember I took a business class years later, and I remember they said there's several ways to start and grow a business, and one of them is come along with me and learn as I do. And I realized that's what I had accidentally done, that I was like, listen, I don't know a lot, and I'm just learning too, but I know a little bit more than you, and I'll teach you what I've learned, and then I'll keep growing, and then you keep growing, and we'll all just grow together.
Wow. And what was the plan? Like, where did you want to go with this?
Originally, I wanted to make $200 a month with some ads. Like, that was truly $100 a month. I'm sorry.
Did you make the $200 a month?
It took 3 years. So that was another thing that I learned, is I was learning photography and I was reading everything I could on blogging. And so I realized, and I said to my husband, it's going to take 3 years before I make any money. And I was like, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to put in the work and I'm going to put in the time. And after 3 years, maybe we can make a couple hundred dollars a month. And my main goal was, I didn't want to go back to teaching. I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And when my first daughter was born, I had stopped working. But I knew I needed something for me. Like, I just needed something. So that was another reason that I was like, this blog and an outlet to teach and talk to adults would be fantastic. And so I always knew, like, eventually my husband would probably be like, the kids are all in school. What are you doing now? And I'm like, well, if I can do this thing, then I can stay home and I can bring in some money. And we're a military family, so we move around all the time. It's really hard to start over. So I was like, if I can just start this thing that comes with me, I was like, it's the best of both worlds. And I think I've moved it 4 times now, so it is working.
Wow, that's crazy.
So do you take pictures for like all the families in your squadrons? Do you like the pet the jet pictures? No.
No, okay, this is another thing. I've never owned a photography business. I've never taken clients. I tried, you guys. I second shot a wedding. I shot a birth. I shot newborns. I shot families, all for friends for free. And every time I would be like, oh my gosh, this is so stressful. Like, I don't know how photographers do this. I can teach you photography all day long. Please do not make me do it for other people. And so even like when we show up to squadrons, they'll be like, oh, can you do our jet pictures? I'm like, that's not really what I do. I can teach you how to do your jet pictures.
I always love the like the two or three women who are kind of like you. They're like the hobby photographers. I almost like swap those words. And they take random pictures, and then next thing you know, you'd have this email with like 300 amazing photos, and you're like, where did these come from? So I
joy appreciate and love of it,
because I didn't have to pay them, and the photos are great.
my wife, her father was a photographer, a professional, like made a living as a photographer. And yet we're out to dinner with friends and she says, Peter has a great camera. He takes great pictures. The camera's awesome.
It's the camera.
It's the camera. And it's like, your dad did this for a living. Like, no,
the camera's better. Right.
So I hand her the camera. I'm like, it's on you, this one. This trip's on you. She's like, okay,
that's right.
I get
good
it.
Luck. Let me know how it goes. That's awesome.
All right. So do you know how many people come to your blog now? Like roughly?
Gosh, I haven't checked my stats lately. Last time I looked, I think we were getting somewhere between like 50 to 70,000 hits a month.
Wow. Wow. That's a ton of people. And
yeah, I'm very lucky.
I couldn't help but notice, you've become more active on Instagram lately.
Yes.
The new school.
Yes. I know. I took some time off when we were in England. It was the first time in 9 years I had stopped working. And it's been really hard for me to get back into it. And so I like kind of get back into it. And then life keeps happening. And so Instagram is always like the first thing to go for me when it's like things start to feel overwhelming or at whatever. I'm just kind of like, okay, you can hold on, you know. But now I'm like, I actually have a really good system now that I figured out a month ago. And I'm like, okay, Instagram feels manageable now. So yes, I am posting more regularly.
Now,
and so you're going to add TikTok now.
Oh gosh, no. Don't put that pressure on me, Tim.
So this is a question I asked you, Jen. Do you guys, okay, Jen, you love yoga. It's your passion. Courtney, you love doing your own photography. You don't like other people's kids. I get it.
We all have our thing.
Do you ever start to hate it? Like, 3 times a week is a lot. Do you ever resent it?
I don't resent it, but it does start to feel like the well will run dry. You know, like writing all the time and sharing everything I was learning. And then when I would slow down learning, then I'm like, oh gosh, I don't have much to share. So there were a few years there where I had a lot of guest writers come in and write blog posts. And I did that for at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. Because I was just like, I think I've taught you guys everything I know. And I know I don't know everything. You know, there's a whole lot of different styles of photography and all kinds of stuff that I just don't know and haven't learned, or it's not my style. And so I don't like, I don't know. It's hard because it's also something that you know, this is my 12th year talking about photography. And so I don't get tired of it, but I do have to find myself to continue to push myself to try and learn new things. So I have other things to share.
How about you, Jen? Do you get the...
I was going to ask first, do you still post 3 times a week?
No, we post once a week now. Yeah. More of like before when I was posting, I mean, sometimes they'd only be like 3 paragraphs, you know, it was just like, here's what I learned. Here's a quick how to do it. Here's a photo. But now we're really trying to focus on like, really substantial content for like SEO. So like each blog post we're aiming for like 1,000 to 1,500 words. And so that takes time. So I want to build up to 2 of those a week, but right now we're at 1 a week.
Cool. And so Peter, as far as burnout goes, or keeping,
keep it fresh.
I clearly have too much stuff to post already. I am trying to whittle myself down to 1 Instagram post a day as much as I possibly can.
That's amazing.
But I think it's because at least with yoga, I mean, yoga is, when you look at it from like the whole, like what yoga really is, the whole 8-limb path that incorporates everything in life. So like today's Thursday as we record this, right? And so I always post a yoga therapy Thursday post. And those are meant to be really accessible for everybody. It does not get a ton of views usually, except for the one this past summer I did a like, you know, things to consider when you're standing around in a barbecue. And it was the like Tootsie Roll song from back in the 80s. I held a glass of water and shifted my hands side to side, front and back. And that thing got like so many views. I was like, seriously, it's all of like 10 seconds long. And all I'm doing is shifting my weight. There's always something, right? Like, as far as yoga goes, the well has yet to run dry. I do have, moments where I'm more burnt out, like there's just too much stuff to post and I don't want to. And I've kind of like, to be totally honest, the past 2 weeks have kind of felt that way. But I also like batch do a lot of my content ahead of time. So like yesterday I spent 2 hours creating content. So I did photos, videos, some promotional stuff I had to do. And then I tried to, I need to go to your blog, Courtney, because I am a fly by the seat of my pants Lightroom type of person, and I will like sign up for people's like free webinars to like better their photography business, and I'm like, great, you can't sell me anything, I'm not going to be a photographer.
Well,
but I want to learn split tone today, so that's what you're offering me.
You know, I kind of joked with Courtney, like, I guess you were just figuring out as you're going. Little did I know, but there's now it makes sense, because one of the things I love about your content, Courtney, is you have an amazing way of building a foundation. You take everything one step at a time and saying, look, like, let's just talk about this piece. Okay, we're going to talk about the three settings. And here's everything you need to know about the three settings. And every other tutorial I found about Lightroom would just burn through it. And you were like, no, this is what you want to do, right? Yes. Okay, here's step one. I know you have a lot of photos that you're just dumping. Yes, that's right. I do. Okay, here's what you're going to do about it. And as you, now I'm wondering, as you lose, you're a professional now. Like, you've been doing it forever. Do you feel like you have a tendency now to want to rush through that? Like what Jen said, it's like, I want to have it accessible to everybody. Do you feel yourself, you have to pull it back, or is your audience growing to a more knowledgeable audience?
Oh, that's a good question. So I think over the years, I've figured out who my audience is and who I'm speaking to. And I have such a passion for helping the beginner photographer, excuse me, because it was so hard for me. Photography did not click. Yes. Little pun there. It was,
I'm gonna
it was
edit
really
that out.
Hard. Not my pun. Yeah, I really struggled. I was a slow learner with photography. And I would take classes with people, and we'd all start out at the same time, and then 6 months their work is stunning, you know, and I'm still struggling to understand how to do something in Lightroom, or why are my shadows looking like this? And so I feel like because I struggled so much, I understand what I wish someone had told me. And so it's much easier for me to break it down, because I'm like, all right, well, this is what I wish I had understood. And I know that it's easy with business, I feel like, to just keep wanting to hit everybody. You know, I know I can't teach everybody when it comes to photography. I want to help you build that foundation and get you going. And I've had people who've taken my manual mode class who've gone on, and one of them she just messaged me yesterday on Instagram. She's like, how are you doing? She took my class in 2015. I was like, I'm great. How are you? And she's like, I booked a destination client. I'm traveling now for my photography. And I'm like, that's incredible. And I know, like, I can't continue to serve her, because like what she needs now is not, you know, what I can give her. So I'm totally fine with like helping people and building that foundation, and then, you know, just keep trying to find those people and help them. And if they need to move on to find someone else to push them a little bit further, like, I'm okay with that, instead of that feeling of like, okay, well, now I need to figure out how to run a photography business. I need to run how to help wedding photographers photograph brides and stuff. Like, I can't be everything to everybody. So I just want to help the beginners.
So that's your niche. Focus on the beginners.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like you're so much past them that you have to remind yourself to dumb it down? Like me trying to teach my son math.
No, because I have to remind myself stuff. Oh my gosh, don't get me started. I homeschooled two of mine last year. There was a lot of crying at math. Yeah, I think because... it's something I've been working on a lot in the last couple of months, is really trying to connect with the people who follow me, whether through my weekly email or comments on the blog or Instagram DMs. I want to remember what that struggle was like. Like, a lot of it I can remember because it's really fresh, but then some of it's not. And like earlier today, one of my friends just messaged me who's still in England, and she's like, hey, I have a friend who just got a Sony. She's struggling with her photos looking this way. I told her this, is that right? You know, and I'm like, okay, yeah, but I would also add this. Like, I like to surround myself with people who are still learning, so that I can continue to find out what the struggles are and then just be reminded of it. Like, another one of my friends called me 2 weeks ago, and he's like, hey, I've already taught him photography a while ago when we lived near him, and he kind of like put it on the back burner and didn't practice. And obviously if you don't practice something, you tend to forget the little minute things. And so he called me up and we were FaceTiming, and he's like, all right, well, why is it doing this? And I'm like, well, you need to switch this button. Oh, I don't remember what that button's called. You know, it's like, so those kind of things are a little bit harder for me. It's like, oh, okay. Like, I know you need to do this. It's a circle, you know what I mean? I'm describing it to him. He's like, well, what's it called? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't changed it in 5 years, you know? So like some of that stuff, I'm like, oh shoot, I need to remember that. But yeah.
So do you have knowledge of like all the major brands of cameras? Like, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm a Canon girl. So granted, my Canon has been replaced by this.
We won't iPhone. Judge your phone.
Yes, my phone is now, everybody's like, what do you shoot with? I literally had a yoga friend the other day hit me up on Instagram. She's like, your photos look amazing. How do you do them? I was like, with my iPhone, my everything. It's, if I lost this, I would be lost for life. But I've only ever had your story about your husband getting you the like expensive point and shoot. That was, I think my parents were living in Germany, my junior and senior years of college, and it was his first trip to Europe, so he had bought me for like Christmas, like the fancy little point and shoot. And of course, it was like $350 back then. It was expensive, but it had manual mode, and we learned how to shoot with it and all sorts of stuff. And it was a Canon, and then, you know, the whole Canon Nikon thing, but I still ended up getting a Canon DSLR, and I got a second Canon DSLR, which I never use. Like, I have not gotten my money's worth out of that. Fortunately, the lens were, you know, interchangeable. But do you, like, because Nikons, like, I've played with Nikons, they are so different from a Canon and then Sony's and, you know, whatever else is out there. So do you stay like up to date on all that? Do you post about that?
No. So my first DSLR was a Canon. And then I switched to Nikon, and then last year I switched to Sony. So I've shot with a lot of them. And I more focus on, I have now learned the terminology is only slightly different with the different brands, but like aperture, shutter speed, ISO, those are all the same. And so when I'm teaching, I'll just tell people like, hey, you may need to get your manual mode out or your manual for your camera, because I don't know on your specific camera how to change your aperture. But I can tell you the words to look up in your manual to figure out. The biggest thing is like focal modes are different, you know, with the different brands, but they all do the same thing. They just all had to have their own name. So, but yes, I do have people who are like, hey, tell me how to do it on this camera. And I'm like, I don't have that camera. I can't help you, but I can walk you through how you can figure it out.
And so you got lenses for all of those cameras.
Well, I got rid of my Canon. I sold all of that. I have all my Nikon stuff. I have this hope that one of my three daughters will like come to me one day and be like, I'm ready for you to teach me your ways, Mom. It hasn't happened yet. However, my 14-year-old did say that the high school offers photography classes, and she's like, I mean, you could just teach me. I'm like, well, I mean, I could. Do you want me to? And she's like, I'm good. But my Sony, I only have one lens with my Sony right now. I'm working up to that one. So,
yeah. Okay.
Well, okay. So that's another good segue. The rise of the iPhone. What does that mean? Like, what do you think that means for photographers?
I don't know, honestly. I've talked to friends about this before. I think it's super convenient, and I love that everyone is able to take photos, because that's ultimately the goal, right? It's like, I want to help people capture their everyday, and so they can have these magical photos to look back to. So if they decide to do it with the iPhone, great. Let me teach you how to use light and composition so you can take some really powerful photos. If you want to do it with a DSLR or mirrorless camera, awesome. I can help you with that too. I personally don't think they'll ever like replace DSLRs or mirrorless. I just feel like, especially for me, for years, I was like such a snob for my DSLR. I'm like, I will never take a snap of my child with my phone. Like, I am a photographer. I would carry my camera everywhere. I took my camera to the commissary. I have pictures of my children in the commissary with my DSLR because I am a photographer. And now I'm like, well, we're only going out of town for 3 days. Do you think I need to bring my camera? Or do you think it's okay to use the iPhone? So, I mean, it's a struggle for all of us.
And in all reality, having lived in England and had to do the Ryanair flights. I remember going to Norway over American Thanksgiving with my DSLR as part of my like full up 8 kilograms carry on. And I am going to Norway in like essentially the winter. And we went up to the Arctic Circle. I'm pretty sure I wore like under, what are they called? Long johns, jeans, mm-hmm. and then snow pants on top of that, and 3 sweatshirts just so I could pack my DSLR and my super wide lens.
Priorities, Jen.
I know. I got some great pictures of Norway, but my back hurt because that was a lot of gear to carry. And now it's the same thing. It's like, well, now it's, I just, you know, revealed I do everything with my iPhone. It weighs so much. Now in the States, you pay for everything, including carry-on. So, yeah. And I still need Lightroom for my photos. I'll be totally honest. I Lightroom all my stuff. Make my walls look less green. I don't know. Like the gray they chose to paint the walls have like a greenish undertone.
Of course.
Mine still look like crap. I Lightroom the hell out of it. Doesn't matter.
I'm sure they don't. We're our own worst critic.
Well, as long as I'm taking pictures of my kids, it doesn't matter. I'm the only one who's going to see them.
That's right.
All
right. And they're always fun to look at.
Well, you've covered all of this many, many times in your blog, but I'd be remiss unless I asked you, what's your number one, number two tip for new photographers?
So I would say learning how to see light completely changes your photography.
Yeah, you shamed me with that on Instagram.
Turn off the overhead lights. I'm sorry. But just like using natural light, it will change the way your photos look. And that was a hard thing for me, like understanding the white balance and the light. And I didn't understand why all my photos looked yellow. And I would, you know, Google, why are my photos yellow? And nothing would pop up. And I didn't know even the terms to search. So I would say just spend some time learning to see light and practice every day. It sounds like such the mom answer, you know, like, well, you know, the best thing for your photography is practice. But truly is, because like you could sit and read my entire site and I have 12 years worth of content and you could read it all. But if you don't go and practice what I'm telling you, it's not going to make you a better photographer. Mm-hmm. You can take all the courses you want. You can watch all the video, YouTube videos, everything. But if you're not taking that one piece of advice they say and putting it into practice, then you're not going to see a change in your photos. And it takes time. Like, that's why I did a Project 365 at the beginning, because I was like, I'm not going to figure this out if I don't force myself to do it. And there were days where the photos were garbage. You know, it was like inside 10 o'clock at night. It's a picture of my alarm clock because I just forgot to take a picture. But I took a picture.
Did you think it was garbage then?
So I mean,
obviously
say,
the alarm clock. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But did you think it was garbage then?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I still took it and I posted it and I put it out there. And I was like, I'm not proud of it, but I did it. You know, like I showed up today. I took the photo. I don't love it. Tomorrow's another day.
All right, so practice, practice, practice.
What's your best advice for taking a selfie?
With a DSLR.
A selfie or a self-portrait? Well, a selfie, you just stick your arm out and good luck, you know? I mean, like, look into the, like, look so the light's in your eyes. That's, like, my best advice. A self-portrait, I would say, make sure your aperture is high enough that you're in focus. For a long time, I was taking my self-portrait. So when I did the 365, I took a self-portrait every Monday. I called it Monday Me. And so for a whole year, I took a self-portrait. That is a quick way to learn how to take better pictures of yourself, because half of your photos are going to be out of focus when you have to set it up on a tripod and run back and forth. And you thought it was a good idea to have your kids in the photo. But I would say just making sure your apertures are like 4 or 5. Will help a lot, because it gives you a lot of wiggle room to move around and have things.
Oh, that's a great tip, because
we're using a remote shutter release for that.
You can. My dogs kept eating. Yeah, I had remote shutters. My dogs kept eating them. But the kids love them. So, like, if you want your kids in the photo, get a remote starter. Your kids will be in front of photos all day long if they're the ones who get to click it. But now I have, like, it's called interval timer on Nikons and Sonys. And so I can say, like, take 15 pictures, 3 seconds apart, go. And so it's really easy.
Ah.
Oh, that's going to be great for kids.
Yeah, and it's pets. Awesome. Yeah. And we basically give them the, hey, if you guys just look at the camera and just do what I ask, we could be done in these 15 photos. But if you screw around, we're going to keep going. They've gotten a lot better.
I thought you were going to ask, what's the best way to take an upside down selfie, Jen?
I have done that.
You're always upside down. This is the only time I ever see you right side up.
I know. It's pretty rare. I occasionally point people to my Instagram feed if they don't know who I am. Like, we did family pictures in October, and it was like, oh, just to let you know, this is what I look like. And it was like, there are some pictures of me right side up if you just keep scrolling.
So you started teaching class. Well, actually, both of you started teaching classes and started doing some online credits. When did that start? And is that something you enjoy doing, or do you enjoy more being a content creator?
So I started doing it. I launched my first ebook in 2013. It took me 9 months to write because I don't like to write, which is ridiculous that it took me that long. But it was wildly successful in 48 hours. I couldn't believe it. After I messed up, I had tested everything out. So I had a coupon code so I could test it for free. And then I had an interview with a magazine, and I'm on the phone. I had just launched it, and I was like, you know, it's a good idea to schedule the interview call then. And so I'm on this call, and all of a sudden my phone is blowing up. And I just thought it was my friends being like, great job. Your ebooks looks great. And it's my friends being it's free. You left the code in. Everyone who's buying it's getting it for free.
Oh my gosh. I got that.
Oh,
I got that. I did.
Did you get it for free?
It was free.
Yay. Yeah. So basically I was like, oh shoot. And so I finished the call and I got on, I fixed it. And it was whatever. People got it for free. That was my mistake. I now know to test things and not be at the computer when you're launching something. But I don't necessarily love creating the courses and stuff because it's, like I said, I don't enjoy writing. I love doing my video ones. That's really fun for me because I can talk all day long. But I love teaching them. I'm actually about to relaunch my manual mode course at the end of March. And I'm actually re-recording most of the content and updating a lot of stuff and tweaking and changing. And this is the first time in years that I'm running it live. So I'm going to be doing live Q&As and feedback on photos and stuff I haven't done in years. And I'm actually really excited about that because I love working with people and helping them versus just sometimes it can feel like you're talking to the abyss. You know, if you're putting out blog posts or even Instagram, if nobody comments, Peter, thank you for always commenting. Because sometimes you're just who am I talking to? Myself? Am I, So I do love teaching the courses and doing all of that.
That's, it's actually also an interesting shift where you're moving more into video. I mean, we talked about you're shifting into Instagram. I can tell you, I hate being on camera. Every time I think about posting on Instagram and posting me, I hate it. I mean, was there a transition for you to go from writer, blogger to TV personality, the small TV?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I will say part of the reason I'm re-recording my courses, when I had originally made it, I'd hired a videographer to come to the house and do all the video for the course. But I was so uncomfortable that I feel like you can see it in the video. And in fact, people have kindly emailed me and let me know that in this video, you seemed very uncomfortable, but these videos you were better.
Seriously, they tell you that?
So much.
Friends or strangers?
Oh, strangers like to tell me a lot of things. Yeah. And so you're just kind of cool, thanks for the feedback. And so it took a long time getting comfortable, but now I've been on video for almost 7 years. So I'm just whatever, I don't care. This is what I look like. This is what I sound like. I've had people tell me they don't like the way my voice fluctuates at certain parts of the sentence,
what?
And I'm just cool, thanks for your feedback.
Well, that's stuff you talk about in yoga teacher training. It's
really?
Yeah, because you don't want to be and now let's go into down dog or Would you like to do this? Like, I don't know. You talk about the inflection of your voice. Like, I mean, it's yoga. There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of nuance.
Are you serious?
For other questions. Yeah. Yeah. There's, because, okay. So it was, I mean, Peter, I think you know this. I was a cheerleader in college. That's how I met my husband. I coached cheerleading at our overseas bases. In cheerleading, it's really important when you're actually out in front of a crowd, despite what people think, to have a very even monotone voice, but go up at the very end. Because if you do, like, if you do this, like, kind of like wave or bell curve of like, let's go team, that ends up sounding sing-songy. So it sounds like you're singing to your audience. Instead, when you're cheering, it's supposed to be, let's go team. You just go monotone, last one goes up, and then it sounds like you're cheering and not singing to your crowd. Same thing with yoga. You don't want to cheer at your your students.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see Courtney's next video. Then you
photography
press the shutter
is so fun.
Button. Autofocus. We don't talk about autofocus.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I always ask all the charities on the other podcasts, but you guys must deal with a lot of eccentric? No, passionate people that comment on your, have any interesting funny stories? Jen just waved her feet at us.
I get a lot of foot people, feet people.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Some of them are very kind and sweet people, and they are very respectful. Some of them are not at all. But you do get, there are full like accounts of just people who, I don't want to say troll, because again, some of them are very kind and polite, and they're like, hey, can I repost this picture of your feet on my page or whatever? Plenty of people don't, and then you're like, oh.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm sorry. I just...
This is a different part of the world that I don't know about.
Well, and I think it's because in yoga, you're always barefoot. So, like, it's just like you're a target. You're just like a straight up, like, we know all these people who hashtag yoga are going to be barefoot. Like, 99% of the time, they're barefoot, so you get a good view of their feet. Some poses are very prominent with their feet. Some poses are not. Some yogis love the attention, and they will like purposely put their foot towards the camera and spread their toes in a certain way.
Bet you didn't think you were going to get that today, Courtney.
It's just very fascinating.
No. Anybody commenting on your feet or anything like what?
No. I have not.
Okay. I'm happy for you. That's good.
I mean, no. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that seems like
your
a good thing.
Your next Instagram post is going to be your foot, right?
Yeah. Now I know what to photograph to increase traffic.
Yeah,
thank
there you,
you
go. That's and, wow. What do you get, Courtney? What kind of stuff do you...
How does one top that?
With a sock? No,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get like the people who have ideas of how I should do things. I have people who want to correct how I do things.
The experts.
You know, you shouldn't tell people this. You should tell people. Yeah. Uh-huh. Tell people this instead. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know, thank you. It used to upset me years ago, and now I'm just like, that's okay. You know, moving on. So I don't know. Yeah, for the most part, honestly, like 99.9% of what I get is just like fun community chat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's what I see on your side. People seem thankful, genuinely thankful, and having a good time. If you were to start today, how would things be different, and what would you do differently?
If I would start today. I would have started an email list on day one.
Ah.
I didn't start my email list probably for about 2 years. So I had 2 years just blogging, and then I started my email list. And that has single-handedly been the best thing I've ever done for my business. So whenever I talk to people who are starting now, I'm like, get your site up. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You can change it. Just have an opt-in and talk to those people. Email them regularly, you know, because I was like, those are your people. The Instagram people are great. You know, Facebook people are great. But it's the people who give you their email address and say, yes, show up every week in my inbox. I want to hear from you. Like, those are your people.
So how do you, or, you know, you're a busy mom and I guess you're trying to post once a week, but that's still pretty demanding coming up with the content and recording it. How do you generally organize your day?
So I now have two people who help me out. So that helps immensely. I kind of have just come up with a system recently in the past month that seems to be working well. I've used Asana for years, but I never really understood it enough to make it work for me. It was kind of just always this thing that we would try and use when we had a project coming up, and it just never made sense.
I'm sorry, you used what?
And now I'm like,
what was it?
Asana? It's like a it's a free project organizational like project management
thing. It's like a whiteboard with like things that you can like move them around and slide them.
Courtney's going under her desk.
My earbud jumped out of my ear. I was being subtle.
I thought she was going to go and getting whatever the sauna is.
Your
whiteboard.
Yeah. you can use the board. You can use a calendar. Or you can use lists. Uh-huh. And so I have a VA, and then I have someone who helps me with my blog posts. And nice. So before we kind of had like different projects for each person, but I wasn't really understanding how to do it. And so now, for instance, we have like an Instagram tag. And so I will list out every day of the week. I will type out what each thing is, and I'll assign it to like my VA creates the graphics. So I'll write out everything, tag her. This is the due date. And then, you know, here's the Dropbox folder, put it in here, you know, and then I tag myself like this reel will go out on this day. And then I put a subtask that's like record the reel, you know, 2 days prior or something. And so what's nice is I can do that for everything. So like I said, I'm getting ready for this big launch, and I wrote out probably, I think I have like 87 steps, you know, from re-recording to launching to social media, like everything, you know, like find the photos, outline, and I list out every single step. And then I put a due date and I task it to somebody. And so then I can go into my tasks, which is a separate section, and I can look and it says, today, you need to record this reel. You need to find the photos for module one. You need to outline your welcome video, you know, and then you check it off. And this like little unicorn like shoots across your computer like, wee, did it, which I am very much like.
Unicorn?
Girl, do you do it on your desktop?
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't browser. Like you as much. Maybe Chrome?
No, I use Safari.
It's amazing. Yeah. Mm. And because I'm like a checklist person, like, yes, please, you know, give me something to check off. And so every morning I get an email from Asana, and it's like Thursday's tasks, and it lists them all for me. And then if I didn't finish them, like I have a couple of tasks from yesterday, they're in red now, which is like a huge trigger for me, you know, that I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to get that done. It's in red. So now my day has kind of turned into this, like, it takes a lot of planning up front. Like I have Instagram planned out for the next month. I have all the blog posts planned out for the next 6 weeks, along with emails that will be going out. And so having all that stuff planned, tasks are, I feel like I can just breathe. And so while the kids are at school, I log on the computer, you know, like I try and do some stuff in the morning for myself, like go for a walk, or I'm trying to do Pilates. I can't do it every day. I tried yoga. It's so hard. I'll follow you. You know, clean the kitchen.
I was going to say, there are different styles of yoga. I post the hard stuff and some of the really easy stuff. So, but and there's also a middle ground.
Okay, good. Maybe tag me in the easy stuff. But yeah, and then I just sit down at the computer. Yeah.
After this, super easy.
Perfect. I will check that out. And yeah, and then I just tackle my tasks for the day, and then my kids come home and I try not to work. So
how many hours do you think you put into your business a day?
Now, because I'm working on this big project, a day probably about 5 hours.
When you're not going to meetings and years ago, company, that would, that's full time. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's 5 hours of actual
work. I spend a lot of my day working.
Yes.
And that's the problem, right? If I don't want to work, I don't have to. No one's right. making me. And so it's like, if I show up, I need to show up and I need to do the work and I need to, you know, not be on any kind of distraction device or anything and just get the work done and check it off my list. And then hopefully if I've been productive, the day flies by and then all of a sudden, you know, my youngest is home and, you know, there's no working then because you know how it is when the kids are home.
Well, that's great. So you're motivated by the unicorn and the red tag. And
yes, I am. I'm one of those people.
That's a good thing, though.
It's great.
So how has this been as a mobile military spouse career? Would you recommend it to other people?
Sorry, what?
Would you recommend it to other people? Or would you tell people that, you know, no, there are too many military spouses photographers, or it's, you know, not easy to make money, or it's been great and I get great pictures of my kids? And
I highly recommend it to everybody. Anytime I can talk to anybody, especially military spouses, you know, when they're like, well, I have this passion, I would like to do this thing. And I'm like, give me a call, I will walk you through it. In fact, I found a friend now, about a year and a half ago, I found this gal on Instagram and I liked her stuff. And then I was like, oh, wait, she's a military spouse. So I like messaged her and I was like, I have some questions. And then I was like, do you have a product I can buy? And she's like, no, I just haven't figured out how to do it yet. And I was like, cool. What time can we talk? We're going to meet once a week now. Wow. I'm going to walk you through this. Cool. Like, we can do this. And she's since like launched a course. And then, you know, it's not just me, you know, like, but I am super passionate about helping anyone, but especially military spouses, because so many are, you know, underemployed or not able to work depending on where you live, especially if you're overseas. And so anytime I talk to anybody who's like, well, I have this thing, I want to do it, I'm like, you can do it. And anytime somebody's like, oh, well, there's already someone out there who does this, right? Well, when I started my site, there were already tons of photography sites out mm-hmm. there, but I knew I could teach it differently. And so that's what I tell them. Like, that's fine, but you have your own way of teaching or doing or showing or whatever it is. Like, follow that passion. Just know you may not make money right out the gate. You know, I'm like, you have to serve your community before you can start asking for that sell. And so, yeah, I highly recommend it. Anyone who's interested in doing anything in online space, it takes work. It takes patience, but it's totally doable.
I love that. I love that, serving your community before you start selling things. That's great. That's a great mindset. Hey, how did COVID affect your business?
It really didn't affect it that much. Like I said, when we were in England, I started feeling really stressed out with everything we had going on prior to COVID. And so it was kind of one of those things where I started looking at my life and I'm like, I can do a certain amount of things really well. And that's about three things. And so I had to look at like my list of what else do I have. And I looked at my business and I was like, I think right now you're just the thing that I'm not going to do because I need to focus on these other things and do them well. And so I actually stopped working in like August of 2019. And so when COVID hit, I had already kind of stopped working. You know, I was like publishing things here and there. And I mean, it was just kind of more like when I felt like it. It wasn't my, I'm pretty rigid when I'm working. Like I said, like I have my tasks and everything. And so for me, it didn't affect it too much just because I wasn't working much. I wasn't expecting any of the like launches or anything like that. So.
Well, that makes it easy enough. At least it allowed you to concentrate somewhere else. Do you have anything you want to pub, Courtney? Anything you want people to check out?
Yeah, if they want to learn more about photography, I have a free photography cheat sheet at my website, clickitupanotch.com, and you can sign up there and I will email that to you. And that way you can print it off and put it in your pocket. And it's like having a photographer out with you, because sometimes we read things online and we're like, yes, I get it. And then you go outside to take the picture and you're like, wait, my shutter speed wasn't supposed to go below what again? And so with these cheat sheets, you can just look at them real quick and you don't have to come back inside.
I can attest. It's great. Go check it out. Well,
thanks.
And then I have to get that and get out my camera.
You get out your camera. Exactly.
Just call me.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much for being our guest today. You were awesome, and we really appreciate it. If everybody, check out clickitupanotch.com. It's a great blog. And you're also Click It Up a Notch on Instagram.
We'll talk next week, right?
But thank you.
One of these days. Are your kids on TikTok?
No.
Oh.
They don't have iPhones. We're like super strict in our house.
Yeah, we're in the same bucket.
So, yeah.
Well, my kids are too young for them. They just steal ours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm always asking my oldest, they're twins, right? So one's a minute older than
she calls one her oldest.
You have to as a mom.
He's the Guga. I'll be like, is mommy in the frame? And he'll be like, yeah. And then I'll go back and I'll look at the picture. My foot is like totally out of the frame. My feet fans are going to be disappointed.
Exactly. It's like, don't you know that's right? The only part that matters?
This is my loyal following.
Anyway. All right. Well, thank you so much, Courtney. I really appreciate it. Jen, thank you for co-hosting this one. This has been a blast. And I look forward to getting
Thanks
this one up.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.